Sometimes, Marcus, we see a news story that just feel like it's going to be helpful for our listeners to be across.
How about for us? Do you think there are any stories out there that could be helpful for your average schmo?
Well, I don't think this one will be hugely helpful for either you or me.
Okay.
What this story was that was getting around this week was the scientifically proven ways men can appear more attractive.
So you're saying it can't help us?
Well, it could.
Or are we lost causes? Well, or are we handsome already and don't need further enhancement?
I think, this was sort of couched in terms of, you know, how to do the best thing by your online dating profile.
Okay.
So that's not
right.
Nice.
I got you now.
But no,
got
you're
where
right.
You're going. Yep.
I mean, we should do everything we can to be as attractive as we can be, and heck, why not raise the bar? And maybe there is a few things we can do
for our lovely partners that like to wake up to some good looking roosters.
On the other hand, if you are a female or a man who is attracted to other men, shouldn't pigeonhole.
No.
This might be helpful info as well, just in case you these might be the ways you're being tricked into thinking someone is more attractive than they are.
Right, okay.
So it works, cuts both ways.
Deceptive. This is getting more interesting by the second.
Yeah, but I'll put it forward as, you know, as what men can do to make themselves more attractive. And these are all scientifically proven. That means they did a study, they found the results, and this is the bottom line.
Okay.
And some of these are weird. Like this one, number one. Look older.
How do you do that?
Does that seem a bit counterintuitive?
Well, I guess if you're in that dating zone, I suppose you don't want to look too boyish if you're competing against men.
Yep. Okay, they call it the George Clooney effect.
Okay.
So after they did the study, they said, we think this suggests greater financial independence. That's it, isn't it?
Right.
That which is another way of saying, they, you know, the older that you are, probably the richer you are.
Okay.
It gives women more confidence in partner choices, attracts them to powerful, attractive older men.
Okay, so this is probably, looking at people looking to really form a relationship. So rather than just sort of fun dating, this is about...
Long-term prospect.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah, you want to look like someone that you can be depended upon.
Mm-hmm. You want to look like someone that you would buy an espresso off. George Clooney, this is unrelated. There was a story going around where they scientifically analysed the male face, you know, divided it all up into, you know, geometric diagram.
Yep.
And scientifically, Clooney's face was the most handsome, they decided.
Didn't test mine.
No. Flawed test right there. All right, this is another interesting one. Proven way men can make themselves appear more attractive. This will be of interest to both you and I. Grow a light beard.
Yes. I'm happy with the results of growing a beard.
Yeah, you've grown yours in the last year?
No, it's probably been a bit longer than that. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely drawn compliments, but also threats like don't shave it off because... You look much better.
Really?
So I'm almost under a little bit of pressure to keep it because people basically didn't like the look of my face beforehand. How long have you had your beard, Tim?
I feel guilty calling it a beard.
It's a beard.
It's not really a beard. It's sort of
shaving stubby. Neglect. That's a beard. Why are you saying it's not a beard? Because it's not long.
Well, it's not really thick or anything, and it's, you know...
So that's what they're saying, a light beard.
Yeah.
You're going attractive, I'm just going scruffy.
I've had it since I was 8. Got really hairy, really young, and then nothing since. facial hair correlates not only with maturity and masculinity, but also with dominance and aggression. It's a bit weird. So this is what
I wish we could play that back, the tone of your voice. A bearded man going, dominance, aggression.
I'm feeling like my voice is very high today. I'm not sure.
No, it's just that particular point you didn't seem convinced
Well,
that it suited your beard personality.
Maybe that's why they say an intermediate level of beardness is the most attractive, because if you go too far with it, you seem too aggressive.
Right, a bit Ned Kelly, a bit bikey.
Yeah, real heavy alpha situation. I don't know. Okay, build muscle, but not too much. Yeah. So the muscle is a cue of, good genes.
Yes.
Increases offspring viability.
Yes. But you don't want to go over the top because you don't want to look like, just into yourself.
Yeah.
Massive guns.
How hard is it to be a guy? You got to have a beard, but not too much beard. You got to be really muscly, but not too muscly. You got to look like George Clooney. Anyway.
When you're 20.
The less muscular men were thought to be a better fit for long term. So, yeah, if you're too bulked up, there is a line, you've crossed it. So you want to be muscly, but not too much. I don't know. Are we okay on that front?
I don't know. Just let me finish these reps and I'll get back to you on that.
I can see. That didn't work. I was going to quote Anchorman, but I won't. Okay, this one surprised me. Wear red.
Red?
Mm-hmm.
How many dudes getting around in red?
Eddie Murphy did it in the 1980s in his comedy special.
He did. Was that called Delirious?
Yeah, no. Or Raw. Either
Raw, sorry.
He was wearing red leather.
Yes.
And an attractive man from all reports, yes. What I can gauge.
Apart from him, though.
Sydney Swans.
Sydney Swans, yeah. Do you have red in your wardrobe? I have none.
No, I don't have any red.
Nah. Righto.
It's a bold choice. We've spoken about red before. It says something about you. Wearing red says something about you, and I can't remember what it was. But anyway, this study compared the female participants had to study men in a red shirt or a green shirt. They preferred the red. Uh-huh. But then they compared other colours, in case you were thinking, oh, well, it's just they just didn't like green. That's what it was.
Yeah.
They compared it to some others, and red still came out on top.
Okay.
All right. Another scientifically proven way men can appear more attractive: walk a dog.
Yep. I like that one.
Shows that you're nurturing, capable of making long-term commitments.
Yes. Yeah, that's good. Hire one. If you're out there dating.
Yeah. Well, that's what they say in this news story. If you're not into pet ownership, just even being seen with a dog can make you more dateable. There was a French study where a 20-year-old man was approached by hundreds of women and asked him for his phone number just because he had a dog with him.
I'm guessing, there must have been. He must have been a fairly handsome guy as well. Hundreds of women.
Yeah, I know. He was wearing red and was George Clooney.
Muscle, not too much muscle. Light beard. He had it all going on.
This is a weird one. Eat garlic.
Really?
Yeah. So here's the catch, though. You don't want the garlic on your breath.
Let me just... This is written by a woman, isn't it?
I'll quickly run through how they did this study because it sounds hilarious. They made some men eat bread with just cheese on it. They made some men eat bread with cheese and garlic. And then for 12 hours after that, they wore cotton pads strapped under their armpits. And then after the 12 hours, took them off, the women had to sniff the pads.
And which one they?
And the pads that came from the men that had been eating the garlic were rated more pleasant.
Whoa. How do you get a woman to volunteer for that? Can you be involved in our... armpit sniffing.
Yeah, you offer money, I think.
You need a lot, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but anyway, the takeaway for men, I think, is just smear a heap of garlic paste under your arms.
So women smelt it and liked the smell of that the most.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, just to repeat, the odor should not be coming off your breath. I think
that's pretty hard. Could you? Do you have to swallow it whole or
clove whole? Well, no, I think just like I said, smearing it under your armpits.
I guess so.
Or someone should be developing a garlic deodorant.
Well, that's quite a list, Tim. I realise now why my single life was such a lonely one. I had none of those things on the checklist back in my youth. Never mind.
You did it all wrong. Love a cup of coffee, Marcus.
Yeah, I've become a big lover of coffee in the last few years, Tim. I started off, it was just a social thing, but now it's sort of become almost a daily ritual for me.
Yeah, definitely a daily ritual for me as well. And for me, I got into it, I found like when I first started drinking coffee, it did actually have like a physical effect on me. When the caffeine hit was still a novelty thing for my body, it'd be like, whoa, yeah, we've got some energy here.
I first noticed that when I was on the morning shift doing breakfast on the weekends, and the breakfast team would bring in a coffee for me every morning, and I was on an empty stomach. So about half an hour later, I was like, why am I so... And just didn't quite get what was happening. But yeah, it was the caffeine.
And then your body gets used to it and you don't really get that...
Super kick.
You don't get the jolt anymore, unless you keep upping and upping, but you can't do that. Anyway, I think, you know, our relationship to coffee, it's half enjoyable, half addiction. Now, what's happened this week is the world's most expensive coffee has been sold.
How much do you find is an acceptable price for a cup of coffee or a cup? Yeah, a cup of coffee.
Well, these days I just make instant coffee in the work kitchen with the tin of whatever that is. That's
good, man. Good man. But I guess if you're in a cafe, I reckon $4.50 to $5.
Five sounds right.
Yeah, yeah. If you go bigger, perhaps.
I guess five would be for a large one.
Yeah. You don't want to spend too much more than that.
No.
So it's around that price range.
Think again. What I've worked this out on is the, because what we have here in our office is a tin of Makona. That prices out at about it's just over $10 per 100 grams.
Okay.
Did some sums. I actually phoned a friend and he helped me work this out. I think it's about...
Wait. Web guy, are you telling me you've done research for this?
I've done a little bit of digging around on this one. The coffee we have comes out at about $51 per pound.
Okay.
All right. Sounds like a fair bit.
Yeah.
$51 pound of coffee. This most expensive coffee in the world is called Esmeralda Geisha Canis Verdes Natural. I think it's from Panama, maybe. $601 per pound.
So, once again, our average per pound, what was that?
51.
Versus?
601.
So what is so special about this coffee?
Oh, I can tell you. Now, it was tasted by more than 20 connoisseurs.
Okay.
At the Best of Panama competition in May. Only 20, I don't know. 20 people in the whole world get to decide what the best is.
Yeah.
Anyway, they picked this one because it has strong floral scents with a thick, vibrant body.
Well, you got to have a thick, vibrant body. I don't know about the floral scent. What's that all about?
I don't know. I'd be interested to try it. I'm not a coffee snob, but I'd be interested to try it. And guess what? You can. A guy in Sydney is the one who paid for this thing, coffee. And he's offering tastings to try it. $50 a ticket.
So, would that be a cup?
Okay. It's actually $55 a ticket, sorry. You get entry into this shindig for two people. And you get one serve of coffee.
Okay.
So, two get in. Only one gets to try the coffee. You get 15 grams of it.
What is the point? So, I guess, how much do you get? So
that's 15 grams. I think they said that's about a cup.
Okay. Well, I guess you could share a cup. Who loves their coffee that much that, I guess people want to experience the best of everything.
How much better could it really be?
Oh, I don't know. You'd want it to, you want to be seeing visions. That sort of...
Yeah, you would want to get the mother of all jolts and just the biggest energy surge that you create a new world invention somehow.
To me, it sounds like for you, coffee is about a little bit of the stimulation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Well, they say that, you know, tea is the drink you just enjoy and savour. It's relaxing, soothing, all the rest of it. Coffee, and we've all been hoodwinked into the coffee, you know, fad. Coffee's what you drink so you can do more work for your boss. And that's, you know, a lot of offices will provide coffee when you think about it.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. I was actually shocked by, people do have a real strong opinions about coffee. You obviously don't, but I bought coffees from the wrong cafe the other day for some of my colleagues, and behind my back, they were scathing of my purchase. So it does show that people really do care about the quality of the coffee.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like you made a real faux pas.
Mm, yep. Went two cafes the wrong way. Never mind.
Mm.
It is funny, though. We probably, some of us would say, no, we're not coffee snobs. But instant coffee, which you say you use daily.
Mm-hmm. And I don't love it, to be honest.
No.
It's not great, but, you know.
I'm surprised it's still managing to make a profit. It seems like everyone's turned their back on it all of a sudden, and it has to come from a cafe, otherwise it's no good.
Oh, you mean you wonder how instant coffee
is?
Well, you know, the good thing about it is it is instant.
True.
There's no wait time.
Yeah.
You don't have to line up.
You don't have to line up.
You don't have to go through the whole rigmarole. Well, I'll have this skinny latte. All the BS that comes with it. The size, we've talked before about the foreign languages that the sizing sometimes come in. There's a whole heap of drama.
And once again, you said you're drinking it, you know, to be more productive at work. Imagine the time you're saving. Your coffee experience takes a minute to make, back into your seat within 2 to 3 minutes. I head down to the cafe.
Yeah.
Make an order. It's probably a 15.
You chat with the barista.
It's probably a 15 minute exercise.
And then it doubles that because you got to go back and replace the ones you bought because you got the wrong ones.
Oh, no. That would end up being hours a year.
It's costing the economy billions, I'm sure, if you added it up.
So if you found $55 on the street, would you spend it on this coffee experience?
Absolutely not. No, I could think of a lot better ways to spend $55, but I don't know. Let's keep an eye out for the reviews of this stuff once the tasting happens.
I find when things are pumped up so much, I'm pretty confident I'd be disappointed. I'd be like, is that it? Is that why I paid 10 times the amount I normally would for a cup?
You're pretty invested in wanting it to taste great at that point, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people would just go, yeah, you haven't lived until you've had this coffee.
Best thing ever. Now, newsman, I had always assumed getting drunk on the job was a no-no.
Definitely a no-no here. I don't think it's acceptable. Your decision-making is impaired, and that's both physical and mentally. So, yeah, no good.
Even if you work in a bar.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't get drunk on the job.
Strict regulations about that.
Yeah. Let alone any other regular workplace. Let alone, you know, possibly the most important workplace in the whole country. Find out this week that Tony Abbott was drunk on the job. Missed an important vote back in 2009 because he got too drunk and passed out.
And this was back when they were in the opposition. So pretty important to make a stand if you've got a certain stance on an issue.
Yeah, that's right. They were passing laws to deal with the global financial crisis, actually. So it was a crisis.
A crisis, yes.
And he was unavailable because he was passed out in his office. He's just admitted to that this week. Now, one thing is, I don't know, so, you know, drunk on the job, apparently not going to hurt your career prospects. He went from there, that happened, and then a little while later, boom, Prime Minister of Australia.
If your dad is from another country and he's unfortunately given you dual citizenship, boo, get out. But this, have a few wines, fall asleep, that's fine.
Yeah, we'll give you the most important job in the country. Now, what he said is, this is how he explained it. And he actually threw some colleagues under the bus. He was doing an interview in the parliamentary bar. There was one famous occasion, he said, when Peter Costello, Kevin Andrews and I hung out rather a long time here, so I bet they're both really great, really happy that Abbott just mentioned their names. He goes on, blah, blah. I think quite a few bottles of wine were consumed by the three of us. Blah, blah, blah. The impact was greater than it should have been. I think. So he's still not even really completely admitting to it. He's just edging around it. I think I famously slept through several divisions. I lay down and the next thing I knew it was morning.
Okay.
Now, what is interesting is not only is it not going to harm your career if you choose to get drunk on the job, he's given us the perfect phrase to use if you find yourself in a position where you're being accused of having been drunk on the job.
Well, he's already used, I don't really recall.
Yeah.
I don't really remember. So yeah. That's it gets better.
It gets better because no one can actually prove you are drunk unless they take a blood test or do a breatho sample. And, you know, no one in a workplace has those facilities.
Not normally, no.
So no one can prove it. So they have to just ask. You know, are you, Marcus, are you actually drunk right now? Well, that's what you'd have to say to someone.
No.
And so he's been asked about this for years. And this is what he used to say as soon as he was asked, were you drunk, Mr. Abbott? Here's the line. That is an impertinent question. So that seems to just shut it down. Because then you make the other person feel like, oh, maybe I'm being, am I being a bit rude? Have I misstepped?
But surely any journalist worth their salt would go, yes, but were you drunk, Mr. Abbott? Did he have another excuse or that's it?
He would say this is what he said once. This is an impertinent question. I had dinner with the gentleman you mentioned. There's no doubt we had a couple of bottles of wine. I wasn't keeping count, maybe two. So again, just be a bit vague on the detail.
Yeah, okay.
And
that might have been two each. Who knows? One or two.
I think what we can piece together, it was definitely more than two bottles. So learned a lot this week. Hope that helps someone.
One of the big drinkers, famous drinkers in politics, Bob Hawke. Why is it that we cheer for Bob Hawke? I guess he's retired now and he's a really old guy.
Mm.
Sculling beers, we think, yeah, Bob Hawke.
Yeah.
If we learnt that he had been drunk on many occasions as Prime Minister,
yeah.
I don't think there'd be the same discussion point. What is it about him versus Tony Abbott that makes Bob sort of shine out as, yeah, that's okay. Larrikin,
yeah.
Tony Abbott, passed out in his office. Knock, knock, knock.
Yeah.
Tony, quick. We need your vote. No. It just doesn't stick.
Are you
up.
Saying if the story had been about Bob Hawke missing the vote, we would have just thought it was, you know, everyone would have been cheering?
Probably. And probably because he would have probably owned up to it first day.
Can you do a Bob Hawke?
No, I can't. He probably would have belched as he's giving the, yeah, I was drunk, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
While wearing budgie smugglers.
That's right.
I think he he's a funny one because he was famously a heavy drinker and then famously said he was going to quit drinking while he was Prime Minister, you know, went on the wagon, I guess that would be. And then famously drinks a lot again now. Well, we don't know if he drinks a lot, but there's always a video of him at the cricket.
Oh, yeah, I'd say there is one-offs, but yeah, he's very much part of it. A point you made earlier, like every other workplace, frowned upon. I haven't spent a day in the life of a politician, so I don't know how long the day is.
Hmm.
I guess if it's like almost a 24-hour commitment over a question time,
yeah.
that perhaps you need to,
yeah.
you've got to have your downtime and you need to, I don't know, have dinner, catch up with mates for a couple of hours. But
get tanked.
But surely you look at there must be some sort of program where you go, okay, this is coming up. Maybe I can miss it. But GFC.
I assume that because this is even a story, it's not that common. Unless,
you know, yeah, true.
Maybe it's just there's a gonna need to lift the lid on this whole thing. Maybe there's a real scandal here, but that it's even news. Hopefully, means that it doesn't happen very often.
Authorities in Mumbai have shut down a manufacturing company after it was accused of dumping untreated industrial waste and dyes into a local river that resulted in 11 dogs turning blue. The group of strangely coloured canines was first spotted on August 11, according to the Hindustan Times, prompting locals to complain to the local pollution control board about the pollution and wanting the company shut down. Tim, you've seen the vision of these dogs. Bright blue. Is it real? Do you think that vision?
Firstly, good reporting by the Hindustan Times.
It's one of my faves.
Oh, I flick through, mainly on the weekends, just see what's happening in the Hindustan Times. But I heard the story, the dogs were turning blue. Thought, oh, yeah, okay, so...
It might be a dull sort of grey blue.
A bit of coloration in the fur. And then I saw the pictures... And this is like vivid neon blue, like head to toe complete coating.
Baby blue.
Yeah.
Clear baby blue on it.
Yeah, but like all over.
Mm.
Like the dogs have been like dipped in this stuff.
Pretty disgusting. India's such a powerhouse. It's probably time that they cleaned up their act. I know the sheer population activity, near impossible to really have an environmentally friendly cities there, but this is outrageous.
It's not too much to think you just wouldn't intentionally just dump your pollution directly into a river.
Yeah, it's going straight in.
Just pump it directly in. Like, oh my goodness. Like, surely it's not too much just to put an end to that. yeah, clearly a bit of a... I say this without being there, having ever been there, but you do get the sense, you know, just the sheer size of it. At least parts of it, you feel like it is a bit chaotic, isn't it? You see the trains running with people, like more people hanging onto the roof of it than inside it, just because it feels like they're overwhelmed over there.
The thing over there as well, I think rivers are a real lifeblood of the community. It's not not like the River Torrens where we like to look at it. If it's polluted, it doesn't really bother us. But over there, people are cleaning, doing their laundry, having a wash themselves, I think.
Yeah.
In some of the poorer areas.
The Ganges.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, they do. You're right. There's a bit of a spiritual element to the rivers.
But
I think there's a spiritual element to everything over there. It's a different culture to ours. But I saw the dogs, and from what I have seen, all the dogs so far have been okay.
Okay, that's good.
But, I mean, you feel like they might be okay at the moment, but what damage has been done? Hopefully they are okay. And if they are, then I feel like, well, what are we looking at here? My first thought is always, who's behind this?
Yes.
This viral stunt? And on this occasion, you'd be thinking, well, what is Dulux trying to launch a new tint of blue?
Labrador blue.
Labrador blue. and in a way, you'd hope that it is just a innocent stunt or a harmless stunt. But, you know, this does seem to be for real. But having seen the results, the other thing that could happen is here, it could spark a whole new online trend of painting your pets.
I thought the same thing, Tim. Let's hope that it's all these animals are fine, there are no health problems.
Mm-hmm. That said,
but I think deep down everyone likes to see a dyed animal.
Yeah, well,
with a different colour anyway.
Yeah, when you see, having seen the
if it doesn't traumatise the animal, of course.
Yeah, it's got to be done in a humane way. With their permission, ideally, somehow. I'm just thinking, we have a fairly new kitten at home, and he is completely white.
Oh.
White, just pure white. And I feel like that's a blank canvas.
It is.
That is a blank canvas right there.
Does it have a white-related name, like Snowball? Or Whitey, Blackie?
No, he doesn't.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. We see at the Royal Show, the chook display is great. The chook competition's great, but I think everyone loves the chickens that have a little bit of dye in the fluffy bit.
Oh yeah, why do they do that? Anyway, yeah, that is. Well, I'm thinking though, you know, we can do better than that.
Yeah,
let's paint like a flame up the side of that chicken. Maybe both sides, like just flames.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that was my first and only idea.
So pets aren't sort of interesting enough for you. They need to have flames on the side.
If people can put their pets in clothes, people dress up their pets now.
How about cows? The colour wouldn't lend it to it, but could you advertise on the side of a cow?
Could advertise, or you know, look, I'm just thinking on the fly here, but could you shave a cow and then tattoo it?
I reckon we've had this discussion about people. I thought we could advertise tattoos on people as well. But yeah, cows. Yeah, shave a little patch. It's pretty mean though, isn't it? What are some of the other animals that you know? You need a fairly substantial animal for it to look good. How about this isn't a substantial size animal. Similar to your kitten, like bunny rabbits, pet rabbits. They're always generally pure white.
Yeah.
Maybe you change it up a bit, an orange or green.
Yeah, that candidates. Or I'd like to see take a green tree frog and turn it into another kind of coloured tree frog. Maybe indigo.
Hmm.
Their texture's a bit different though, isn't it? The paint might not take or might not stick or...
Yeah.
It could be a problem.
So that factory in Mumbai, shame on you, but possibly creating a new trend for pets in Australia.